You are listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silvering, on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilvering.net. With the death of her vampire mate, Dominique Leroy, the hybrid vampire queen of New Orleans, must choose a new mate. Will it be the best friend, Asmodeus, the vampire who craves her power? Azazel, the human wizard with firepower? Or Jason, her were-leopard guardian? With her ties to the magical and shifter communities, she becomes a threat to the Vampire Blood Council. They give her an ultimatum. Turn the human wizard into a vampire or die a traitor's death. Will she choose love or loyalty? The Grand Dame of Bourbon Street by Mahogany Silvering. Available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. Get your copy today. War is coming, and no one knows it but Gwen. He has one mission, to stop his former coven from attacking the mundane. Only then can he return to his quiet life, until he meets a beautiful time traveler with bad news about the future. That was the goal. Her presence, however, complicates everything as matters with the mundane go from bad to worse. He can't turn a blind eye to their attraction, nor can he go back to normal without a price. He must find a way to save the world and have her, too. Pandora's Kiss, an Asian male black woman time travel fantasy romance by T.D. Bond. Available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. Get your copy today. Passion's Pride, Alejandra, by interracial romance author Mahogany Silvering. Alejandra, the son of a jaguar king, who doesn't want to be king. When he has a premonition of a human woman's fight with drug coyotes, he rushes to save her. He takes her on the run to keep her safe from the cartel, who mistakenly believes that she has stolen from him. Alejandro and Regina fall in love. However, when his father is killed by cartel enforcers, Alejandro is forced to become king, but Regina feels unworthy to be his queen. Can this reluctant jaguar king lead his people, protect his homeland, and make Regina, a human, his queen? Passion's Pride, Alejandro, by romance author Mahogany Silvering. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Hello, and thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Mahogany Says Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silvering. Happy New Year to everyone tuning in. This is the first time we are live since December. So I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. We have a great show for you. We have Bestseller USA Today bestselling author, Mikael Wilson, who is joining us in just a few moments. And he is a talented writer and singer, and he loves to work on cars too. So, but I will let him tell you about himself. Mikael,
how you doing?
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm 36 years old, married with two boys, two girls, four kids. I'm born and raised in Alabama. I'm a USA Today bestseller. I write a little bit of everything from paranormal, fantasy, murder mysteries, as well as Christian fiction. So I'm a little bit very eclectic. I like to sing, play music. I play several instruments, guitar, violin, bass guitar, drums, piano, tenor saxophone, alto saxophone, just a little bit of everything. And I enjoy art, fixing cars, racing cars, and motorcycles. So there's, you know, just a basic normal person.
So how did you get into writing?
Wow. Okay. So believe it or not, no one bring out pitchforks and or torches. My wife and my sister at the moment were reading Twilight. And, I remember sitting on the couch, and they were going on and on about Twilight. And they were like, you should read it, you should read it. So I read some of it, and I was like, okay, I'll try this. I was like, yeah, I can't do this. So they were like, what are you talking about? This is the best book ever. And I was like, I could write a better book than Twilight. So of course, you know, I thought I could. So I wrote my first book, which was a hybrid series, released it on Amazon with no editing whatsoever. It did not do as wonderfully as I thought it was, because there was more to writing than just a great story. But
right.
I actually got a good editor and made my Amazon bestseller in my second year. After that, every one of my books so far have gone Amazon bestsellers. I made the USA Today list. And the hybrid series, I'm actually about to release book three for the hybrid series this year. And it's a 5-part series. I also wrote Shattered But Not Easily Broken, which is one of my best-selling books. And I wrote Ascension of the Blood Throne, which was released 2 years ago. I released Fallen Kingdom, and I also released Something for Susan, which is my first murder mystery. So it's kind of funny, but I got a new career out of a dare. So who gets to say that? But
now, see, that's an amazing backstory for that. For, you know, we all have different ways that we begin writing. And so after that, did you think of yourself as an author after your first couple books?
Honestly, I didn't. I thought of myself as just someone who was having fun. It wasn't until I was able to invoke emotion from my readers that I felt like I was actually becoming an author. And I still have a lot to learn. Like, even now, after 7 years into the game, I still feel like I have so much to learn to become what I would say as a very talented author. I think that I'm good, but there's so much more room for improvement, which is why I'm so open to criticism. And I have really good editors, I have really good formatters, and I have great fans who continue reading my work, who continue going out there and telling me, you know, this was amazing, but... And I love those people that give me that kind of feedback, because I'm trying to grow. And as they say, as long as you're growing, you will never die, because you're still growing.
And we're all still learning. We continue to learn. And that's how we evolve and grow. So, yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that. So,
yeah.
And I've read some of your work. So, yes, I agree.
Thank you.
I really enjoy it. So,
thank you. I think my favorite.
Go ahead.
My favorite thing is twists and turns. I love twists and turns that you don't see coming. Those are the kind of books that I enjoy reading myself. So that's what I kind of incorporated into my writing style.
Ah, okay. So tell us a little bit about, without giving too many, you know, spoilers, Ascension of the Blood Throne.
Okay, that was one of my favorite stories. And Ascension of the Blood Throne is actually based on my own twisted little mind. So without giving too many things away, a vampire comes from somewhere who meets a girl that he wants to take back and make her his wife. And her best friend and her fight it off, but they get bitten. They get bitten. They are now taking over by the bloodthirst. And he is trying his best to explain to them about the thirst. A lot of things happen where she finds out that her mother is actually a vampire slayer. And that leads to a lot of questions for her. Why didn't her mother explain this to her? Why is this? And then you of the planet, well, not the planet, but the world that he comes from, he's the prince, and he's looking for a princess. So it's a really good story with a lot of twists and a lot of turns. It's really hard to tell you without telling you the plot points, and also not, like, because it has so many twists and turns. So it's really hard to tell you about the story without, like, spoiling the good twist and turn. So just, like, if you love vampire books, if you like Greek mythology, if you like things that have, like, twisted stories that you will never see coming, because this one pulls the wool from under you, double agents, it's exactly what you'd be into.
Nice.
Think of Buffy the Vampire Slayer with Blade, and then throw in kind of like, you know, Supernatural and something twisted, like something like that you would, like Secret Window. So you like, it's a psychological thrill ride.
It's
got like,
yeah.
a, Yeah, it's so different. So, like, I like to do stuff that's really, really different, that's not like everything else.
So are some of these any romance stories?
My first romance story has actually been written right now, which is one of my surprises. Me and the host are a part of a new shared world, and we will be releasing that coming this year into 2024. That's all we can say right now, but I promise you, these books are amazing.
Yes,
I got
they are.
To do some stuff, got a chance to do some stuff I've never done before, and I love it. So, like, guys, if you want to read something excellent that's led by a minority-based, it's a biopic, look, these authors are bringing it. And when I say they're bringing it, they are bringing it.
They're definitely bringing it. And I'm excited to be a part of this. This will be my first time writing in a shared world. So, yeah, this is it's excellent, and I'm really excited about it. And it has pushed me as a writer and pushed me out of my comfort zone, but I love it. And, yes, and I think
– You guys
our
made me level up.
Really, yes.
You guys made me level up. I was like, whoa, cannot be left behind here, ladies and gentlemen. Let me level up some more.
But you were already, I looked at you, and I was like, okay. And I've read you. I was like, what is he talking about? He's already up.
You know what they say, though? When you become stagnant because you believe that you're somewhere already, you prevent yourself from growing. It's kind of like a potted plant. That plant can only be grown so much because it's restricted inside of a pot. But if you take that plant and put it in soil, there's no telling how big it can grow. So being around other authors that are really good, I wouldn't necessarily say so much better than me, but even more experienced, or they might have something that I don't have. Being around those authors helped me grow. And so by being around people that are helping me grow, I'm going to grow. And that's what I love about being a part of this group. Like, even you, like, I love being around you, like your tenacity and the way that you are when you go after a story helps me grow. So, like, I'm very thankful to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you. I do. I get super focused.
Yes, you do. I've been on the phone with you when you were going up through a story. Like, wow.
Yeah. So, can you tell us what it's like for you, your writing area? You have, like, a desk or things that you do while you're writing?
I got to say that I'm one of those people that don't necessarily have a certain place where I write. If I'm inspired to write, I will write on my phone. I will write on my laptop. I will go to the kitchen. I mostly do most of my writing when the house is quiet because I've got a 5-year-old. I've got a 12-year-old, well, about to be a 12-year-old. I've got a 17 and a 19-year-old. So my house is always hectic. Like, my kids are best friends. So I hear laughing and do-do-do-do-do. And then they got puppies and, like, ugh. So sometimes when I just put my earphones in and I'll just jam out. And while I'm jamming, I'll get an idea. And before I know it, 5K have been written. So
that is amazing.
Yeah, I just get inspired. And then once the inspiration hits, I have to put it down.
So you just,
like,
whatever inspires you, and you just start writing. I mean, you do come up with some really credible ideas. I mean, like, off the cuff, just, you know, and you were gone with it. Like, how did you do that?
Like, it just, my mind, it's just the way my mind works. If I'm not mistaken, they say it's because I'm right-brained. So, like, I deal with a lot of things, like, as far as music and art and writing. Stuff that, like, inspires me. I can get inspiration from watching a TV show. Like, I can see something happen on the TV show, and I'm like, wow, you know what would be really cool? And then I'll write down the idea, and before I know it, it's becoming a book. So I'm inspired by so many things. Like, I try to live my life to the absolute fullest because in the year 2011, we had a tornado that hit in Alabama. I'm pretty sure everyone knows it was, like, nationwide, and my entire subdivision got hit.
Right.
And, yeah, like, we pretty much lost everything. Mostly everyone in the subdivision lost everything. And wow. That was one of my first brushes with I'm not invincible. My son, my youngest son was 1 month old when that hit. And then I had a health scare. Then I had a really bad health scare a couple of years ago where we didn't know what was wrong. They thought it was my heart. It turns out it was severe stress anxiety. But it made me lay there and realize that I'm not invincible. And not only that, that I don't have all the time in the world. Like I could lose my life today and be gone. And what did I leave behind? So I want to leave a legacy behind. I know it sounds really weird to say you want to leave a legacy behind, but
no,
I don't
really.
Want to. Yeah, I don't want to just exist. I want to live. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't want to live a life of mediocrity. I want to live. So by writing and by getting out, mingling with other authors, and, you know, like the song Centuries, you know, they will remember me for centuries. That is what I would like to happen. I would love for that to happen, for people to remember me for centuries. But, you know, if not, then the people that lives I touched, you know,
exactly.
if I can just have them remember me, you know, that would be awesome.
Well, you definitely touched my life, and you and I have bonded in this group we're in. It has just been, like, we mirror each other almost. So yes, we started calling each other twins because...
you're my twin.
He was left in a little longer than I was. But
yeah.
But twins, nonetheless. We think alike on a lot of things, and we come up with stuff. Yeah.
Anime, Marvel, DC. I was like, what?
Exactly. That's right.
Like,
Comic-Con, Dragon-Con.
Yes. I was like, you are my people.
Exactly. Like, we're the same tribe. That's it. That's it.
Definitely. Definitely. Like, and as sweet as I am, no one would assume that I'm a Slytherin, but I am totally a Slytherin. Everyone's like, what? As sweet as you are? Yeah, definitely.
I'm a Slytherin, too.
Yes,
except
they gave me a cat. I don't get that. How'd they give me a cat? I'm allergic to cats.
Yeah.
Give me a dragon. I could do a dragon.
Yeah, right? Just don't give me a snake.
Yeah, I could do a snake. I mean, I'm not scared of snakes. I'm like, hey, snake, what's up? Like, you know.
Probably not. Not me. I'll be too busy running.
I know. I'll be like, dude, that's your spirit animal. No, it isn't. Run! Oh, gosh.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So, anyway, tell us a little bit about, like, you talked about some of your favorite things as well and things that inspire you. So, I know that how many books do you have?
Oh, gosh. I've been recently taking down a lot of my older stuff, and I've been re-editing, and I've also been rewriting. And the reason for that is when you get a new skill and you see that the other stuff that you had is subpar, you go back and you fix that, and you go back and you fix that on your catalog. So So I've been refixing a lot of stuff in my older catalog. So I think right now I might have 5 or 6 books up right now, but I have like 13 books in all that I have. So that's about to multiply because I have like, I'm planning by 2024 to have written about 8 books.
So
8 more books
will
probably, definitely. I've got them already. I already have them pretty much written. It's just I have to go in and fix a few things and then get them edited and then put out. So I'm constantly writing. I love to write. It's just something I was born to do.
Yeah, it's amazing. A lot of people don't, you know, realize their potential or even their talent for writing until they start doing it.
And
so,
that's kind of how this was.
Yeah.
This is kind of how this was. Like, I had no idea that I had so many stories built inside of me until I started putting them out.
Yeah, and that's an amazing way to, you know, express yourself as well. So, yeah, that you just, like, and you're all excited about your books, too. I like the enthusiasm that you approach to each writing assignment or each, you know, each book you have. You're just like all excited about it, and you just have this plot. Just, and I'm like, how do you do that? but I know I've asked Eve to explain that, but it is still like, I can't do stuff like that. It takes me a while.
I kind of put myself into this world, and once I'm in that world, I'm a part of it. So it's mm-hmm. like I'm living my character. And so once I'm living my character, of course I'm enthused about it because I feel like I'm going through the same emotions that the character's going through. There's been times while I'm crying about this character that isn't real. Like, I killed off a character in one of my new books, and I'm like I'm tearing up, and like I'm like depressed, and I'm like, bro, you wrote this. Calm down. It's okay. Like, you know, right. I don't want to let you go. So, you know, I think the main thing about being a good author is being able to put yourself into your story. So I think that I've accomplished that.
Yes, I think you have too. And you actually helped me on the book that I was working on. And that's the advice that you gave me, put yourself in the story as the character. So what would the character do at this point? And, you know, describe it. And that was really helpful. I appreciate that so much.
Well, that's another thing that I always feel like as far as being an author is I remember what it was like being a new author. And mm-hmm. there's so many scammers out there. There's so many people that give you false hope or false sense of security that they're your friend or they're willing to help you, but they're really not. So when you find genuine people, I hold close to them, but I also want to give back because there were people that were out there that took me under their wing and taught me things and helped me. And if I see a way that I'm able to help the next generation or the other people that are where I used to be, I feel like as the indie author world, this is one of our biggest, I think, honestly, in the indie author world, I think one of our biggest things is that everybody we see is our competition. We don't mm-hmm. see them as fellow authors. And I
and
want to see everyone succeed. I want to see everyone succeed. If your book went
too.
Number one, I want to clap for you.
Yeah.
I want to be hyped for you. I'm like, dude, your book went number one. I'm so proud of you. Yes, that's what I want. What happens
mm-hmm.
if somebody's book turns into a movie? Dude, I want to clap. I want to clap louder for them. Why? Because they made it.
Yeah.
And there's so much room at the top of the mountain. Why do we have to push each other down? Like, if one of us makes it, then there's enough. You know, if one of us makes this a chance, somebody else will make it.
Exactly. And that's the hope we hang on to, that, you know, okay, if they can do it, I can do it too. And that's inspiration. And I don't think that should be, oh, why did they get to, you know, have this? And how come their book was picked up? I never look at it that way either. It's like, rejoice because, you know, you could be next. You just don't know. And I would want people to be happy for me genuinely.
That goes to human nature as well. I mean, everyone wants to jump on something when it's successful, but who wants to jump on it when it isn't? Like
right.
Tyler Perry talked about it often. You know, he lived in his car. He was homeless. He tried
mm-hmm.
all this stuff. He tried doing his plays. Nobody would give him a chance. And then he finally made his breakthrough. Now he's a multi-billionaire. And I mean, you look at these people, you look at these stories, you know, and then you go, well, if they can do it, why can't I do it? Well, they had a plan. They stuck to their plan. It might have took them 10, 15, 20 years to get there, but they're there now.
Mm-hmm.
So what's stopping you besides you? You know, I think one of my favorite memes that I saw, and I think I saw it on Instagram, was The Rock. He was staring in the mirror. He was like, it's you versus you. How bad do you want it?
Yeah, that is exactly right. It is how bad do you want it? You're willing to work for it, even though it takes years. So, I mean, I'm with you. I'm one of the first of the five authors that began writing interracial romance in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah,
the show not so long, but yeah, writing and publishing for a long time. And there's still things I don't know. That's why I agree with you. You really don't know everything. which is why I'm learning more stuff every day and just being around people who know things and who are willing to help. And I do the same for others. If I find out information, I pass it on to the next author who may be struggling with something else or struggling with something that I've already done. To make it easier for them, I just tell them how to do it or show them how to do it. Because, I remember being that, untrained, just new and thinking, okay, I had a good story, but how do I get it, out there?
Well, I'm just being honest with you. There's so many people out there that are mentors that aren't looking for anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
Tam Jernigan, she's helped me out a ton. Tiama Slay, she's helped me out a ton. I mean, there's been Colleen Hoover. Believe it or not, I messaged her. I was just down in the dumps. Have you ever had one of those days where you just feel like, why am I even writing? I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. And I messaged her page. I still remember this to this day because it meant a lot. I messaged her page, and her page was, blowing up with, she's everywhere, right? She's on TikTok, on Book Talk. She's USA Today, 5 or 6 of her books. And I remember messaging her Facebook. And I was not expecting a reply, I was not expecting it. She Facebook called me. She Facebook called me.
Wow.
And she was like, why do you write? And I still remember this. And I was like, that's you. Like, I remember being kind of starstruck and surprised at the same time. And I told her, I was like, I write because it's fun. And she was like, just have fun then. And she was like, I'm going to let you go, but just remember why you write. She gave me, 30 seconds? And that was like, wow. That's what I needed to remember.
Exactly.
I write for me to have fun. And when it's not fun, I should put my pen down.
Yeah.
And
this is the job that you do, and you make people happy with your books and with your personality.
And also being genuine.
Yes.
Being genuine and being who you are is something that people don't do anymore. You're either going to like me or you're going to hate me. There is no in between. I am very, I'm very out there. I like to talk. I'm a goofball. I like to laugh. I'm also very articulate, and I feel like, I'm very opinionated. So some people might not like that about me, but some people might embrace that and love me. So
yeah.
I would just be me. And if you don't like me, then I'm not your flavor. That's cool. But if I am your flavor, come talk to me. Come hang out. I'm just a normal person.
Stay above average. Normal is just what the majority of people do. That's my definition of normal anyway. But, yeah, you are definitely outside of the norm. And it's awesome because you can be unique.
Aww.
And you don't follow, like sheep to do. You don't follow the crowd. You don't follow the trends. You make your own and set your own way of doing things, makes you multi-talented.
Yeah, my nickname is Hulk and Hybrid, so I don't really have a choice. I mean, when you're 6'6" and when you're 6'6" and 340, you kind of stand out in the crowd a little bit,
Yeah.
They're like, wow, what is that, a tree? Is that a tree? No, that's a person. Oh, it's moving. Okay. So you have to be who you are. And if you're not comfortable in your own skin, there's not really a lot of hope for you. You have to be comfortable in your own skin, no matter your size, your height, your weight, your ethnicity,
everything,
what you do for your living, whatever you do, you have to love yourself first. A lot of people are expecting validation from other people. You don't need
that
to be validated by others. You just need to be validated by yourself. Now, I'm not saying you can't take constructive criticism if you're doing something wrong or you're going a different way or someone knows something better than you do. But you have to be comfortable enough to say, this is who I am. And it's okay to be me. It's okay to be who you are. It's okay to love yourself. It's okay to look in the mirror and say, you know what? You're a good-looking guy. But to the person next to you, they might be like, dude, that is the ugliest dude I've ever seen in my life. But you know what? Self-confidence. Self-confidence, yeah. Bro. Like, I lie to what was that Cat Williams said? I lie to myself every day. I look like at least 5'9". he said he looks in the mirror every morning and lies to himself. Boy, did you catch a growth spurt? Like, you know, but don't look for other people to validate you. Be comfortable who you are. That's one of my main things I try to tell my children. Don't look for validation from other people. Don't look for the masses to tell you who you are, know who you are. Because once you know who you are, nobody can ever take that away from you. But if you find your happiness in what other people tell you is your happiness, the minute they don't tell you that, they take it away from you.
They take it away from you.
Yeah. My mom always said, don't ever let someone else get in your head and control you. Because once they're in your head, they control you.
Exactly. And also, sometimes we have to get out of our head because we control too many things. We can send ourselves downhill really quickly, especially if we're insecure about things.
Yeah, well, your mind controls your body. Whatever your mind thinks, you can wake up in the morning in a bad mood, and the rest of the day, you can have a bad mood the rest of the day just by the way your mind thought when you woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is the most powerful thing in your entire body. Why? Because if your brain dead, then you're dead.
That's true.
But what if you use your mind for positive things? What if you wake up every day and say, you know what, today is the day I might make it. Today is the day I'm going to do something positive. Well, your mind automatically thinks positive, so you're going to go along with positivity. How many times have you woke up and you're like, wow, I feel great today. Today's going to be a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, that day, it turns into a good day. Or you can let something as minor as you can't find a shoelace ruin your entire day. Like, shoelace is dirty. I swear to God, I can't deal with this right now. And you have a bad attitude. They're like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. Yep. And then
find
and
a shoestring.
Like, okay, well, where did this start? What started it? My shoestring. You let your shoestring make you mad all day? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So your mind has so much power over you.
That's why we have to keep thinking positive.
Yeah.
So what is your work schedule like when you're writing?
Like I said, my work schedule is so varied. I have gone where I'll write 3-4 hours at a time until a book is done, and then I'll have times where I write 15-20 minutes. It just depends on how I'm inspired. I never want to force it. When I feel like when I'm forcing it, that the story just doesn't flow properly. So if it's flowing, oh, I'm just writing. I'm writing. But if I'm like looking at the page and then I'm like, okay, what should she say? What should he say? What should they do? I just stop. Want to know why? Because I don't feel it. And if I don't feel it, then the reader won't feel it. You want your reader to be entertained. That's what we are. We're entertainers.
Yes.
Reading is a form of entertainment. That's what it is. And if we do not entertain our audience, they're going to turn the channel or get another book.
Exactly.
Like right now, if you have your remote in your hand and you're watching Roku and an episode of something comes on and it's like, ugh, and you'll just turn the channel. Well, that's the same thing with books. If you don't entertain them and make them want to turn the page, they put your book down and pick up something else.
So true.
So, like, what was that? Definitely. Is that not what Gladiator said when he was walking around? He's like, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? You want to be entertained?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Nirvana said, here we are now, entertain us. Like, we want to be entertained.
Exactly. We want to be entertained.
You know.
So, what's the most difficult part about writing for you?
Oh, gosh, that is a good question. My biggest part of writing for me is to silence the voices in my head. One of my, I'm going to name her, Whitey Lamar, my editor. She has to calm me down because she tells me sometimes, Mikhail, you can't do all this in one book. Because I come up with these fantastical ideas. And my fantastical ideas, I write them all down. And she's like, okay, I'll make an example. In one of my books, I had a shark, and it danced while this lady played guitar. And she's like, why is the shark dancing? And I was like, because it's cool. And she's like, okay, is there a reason why the shark is dancing? Yeah, that's a cool scene, right? And she's like, yeah, it's something. So, like, you know, so sometimes calming my mind down, every idea isn't a good idea. Every idea is not a good idea. Having a dancing shark.
At least you got an idea, right?
Yeah, having a dancing shark in your book might not be the best idea. But, you know, at least I had enough imagination to put it in there.
True. A dancing shark. Okay. Yeah. It sounds like a children's
book. Yeah, he was
book.
Dancing. Like, the girl was playing guitar. He was dancing along to the music. Dancing. And YD was like,
Look, sounds like a children's book to me. So
It was not a children's book.
I get it, but... Yeah, it's like, you spin that around, like, okay, well, now it's going to be a children's book because it doesn't fit in with what I'm trying to write.
Like, do not put Baby Shark song in this. You will get sued. I was like, I'm not putting Baby Shark in there.
Shark. Just put Jaws, you know?
No, he was a nice shark. I think his name
He's
was
a
Happy
nice
shark.
Okay.
Yeah, his name was Happy Shark. I told you, every idea is not a good idea.
Yeah. So, is writing your full-time career, or?
Actually, no.
No?
Yes, I am a computer tech. I'm a master computer tech. I've been doing that for years since I was about 18 years old. So, I do residential as well as commercial. I love doing computers. It's fun. But I'm also about to be going back to school for RN because I need another challenge. I feel like I've reached the ceiling on this. Yeah, I feel like I've reached the ceiling on this, and I want to do something different. So I'm going to go to school for RN starting in August, and I write as a hobby. I paint cars as a hobby. I build cars as a hobby. I draw as a hobby. I have a ton of hobbies, and my music, I will be releasing my single at the end of this month. We're actually about to shoot the music video. And it's something that my godmother and everyone said that I should do because it's something that I love. And I never thought that I would do it other than something that I enjoyed. But when you have a talent, well, you should use it.
Exactly.
So that my single, I Believe in You, will be releasing in January. So if you guys follow me on Instagram, TikTok, or on Facebook, I will have the dates of when it will release, and it'll be on Apple and Spotify and YouTube and everything like that. So,
okay, well, you can actually tell our listeners where they can find you online and what your TikTok name is.
Yes, ma'am.
Instagram.
Okay, well, my TikTok is Author Mikael Wilson, and it's Mikael, M-I-K-E-L. W-I-L-S-O-N. I'm sorry, but my parents did not do Hooked on Phonics. Remember, I was born in 86. Mikael does not have an A in it, even though it should, because the I does not make the sound, but okay. It's Author Mikael Wilson, M-I-K-E-L, on TikTok, as well as Instagram and Facebook. And I also have a website, authormikaelwilson.com.
Nice. And I'll probably ask you to repeat the same thing before the show is over. But I'm going to turn it over to anyone who has questions. I see we have some callers on the line. And if you would like to ask a question to Mikael or myself, go ahead and press the number 1. Well, if they want to.
Somebody ask a question. I know you're dying to get to know me. You're like, hey, I don't know him. I want to know him more.
Okay, we have the first caller who's raised her hand or their hand. Let's see. Try and put you on the air. For some reason, it's running kind of slow today. There we go. Caller, what is your question? You're on the air. Hello?
Uh-oh. Maybe they press mute.
Oh, Okay. You're in this song. Okay.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I can hear you. Nice.
Okay, so my question for Mikkel is, you said that you're going to write 8 more books, hopefully, before 2024.
Yes.
Are we going to be adding to the Susan series?
Something for Susan, yes. Something for Susan will be getting a sequel. I'm actually writing it right now. And Shattered But Not Easily Broken will have a sequel. The last book of the series will be called A Broken and Shattered Vessel, and that will be coming out in May or April.
This year?
Of this year, yes.
That is totally awesome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
That's
Thank
one of my really close
question.
Friends. She's a really, really sweet lady. That's Heather. I know her.
Okay. Well, your next caller, let's see if we can get them through. Okay, caller, you are on the air. You can ask your question from the 256 area code.
Ooh, 256.
Hello.
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 Yes, ma'am.
How are y'all doing tonight? And really enjoying the interview and the conversation that's going on between you and also Mikkel Wilson. I am Lisa.
Yes,
I am calling from Alabama. So what I wanted to know from Mikkel, I'm an author as well, but Mikkel, his writing style, you never know what you're going to get with him. But the newest, but with Mikkel, I mean, he's a jack of all trades. He can write in different genres. But what I want to know, out of all the books you have written, which one would you say is your favorite and which one is your least favorite?
That's a hard one. My favorite right now, my favorite is a toss-up between Shattered But Not Easily Broken, which is my favorite Christian fiction book, and also Ascension of the Blood Throne. Those two books, the reason why Shattered means so much to me is because I put so much into it because of what we lived in 2011. Ascension of the Blood Throne was kind of a rebirth of my career as far as authoring. I had become stagnant, and I feel like I had trapped myself in my old stories. So I was able to write a new character, and by doing so, it was kind of like a rebirth of my author career and also the enthusiasm to write again. My least favorite book, let's see. I would have to say my first book, A Light Beyond the Darkness, simply because there were so many issues with the first book because I had no idea of what I was doing, and I released it that way. So I'm actually, I've rewritten it. I've put it back out, but I'm thinking of changing the name so the people that actually got a chance to read it at first will get that bad taste of the unedited, unformatted, and plot hole written book out of their system. So I want to say that it's my favorite, but it's also my least favorite. It's my favorite because it's what put me out there to actually try writing, but it's my least favorite because of the type of book it was, because it was just undone. It was like a half-baked pie. Like it had potential, but it didn't reach its full potential.
Oh,
okay.
That makes
and
sense.
I also, one more question if I can. I had
sure,
a chance to Shattered But Not Easily Broken. And what I want to know, I know it's based on what you and your family went through during the tornado. So how did that storm and writing that book, how was your faith tested during that process, and how hard was it for you to write that book and relive that process?
Well, after the tornado hit, I dealt with a lot of PTSD, and I think that everyone that has gone through a tornado or a storm like that deals with that, and they deal with it in their own way. For me, writing that book was therapeutic, so I used to have full-fledged panic attacks if they said severe thunderstorm, and now I'm actually able to deal with it because I dealt with those I guess it was like a bunch of feelings that I was unable to deal with, and that book helped me deal with them without even knowing that I was dealing with them.
Wow.
So So those unresolved issues, yeah, those unresolved issues were actually able to be put to rest because I put that out there.
So that was very therapeutic for you.
Yeah, it was very therapeutic.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for asking your question.
Thank you for calling.
You're so welcome. I look forward to more from you.
Thank you.
Awesome. And we have another caller, which I'm putting you on now. You're on the line. You're on the air.
Hi,
caller. Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes,
I
can
hear
you
voices.
Hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Kayla,
go ahead and
it's Sam.
Ask your question.
If you had
I'm sorry.
Pick one genre to stick to, what would it be?
Ooh. I don't think that's possible for me. Honestly.
Really?
I don't think I could pick one genre. And the reason why is because I'm so multifaceted that I can't just pick one. My Christian fiction book.
So I kind of know that, but anyway.
Yeah, like my Christian fiction means a lot to me because that's just my faith. And so, like, when I'm writing that, I'm in a place of trying to help people. I use that as a self-help. But my fantasy books is where I love because that's, you know, the world that I'm able to create and mold. In my fantasy books, I'm able to do anything that my mind can ever think of. And my Christian-based books, I'm engulfed in the real world. So it's kind of hard to pick between the two.
What's the one piece of advice you got from your editor that will stick with you forever?
Good question.
Well, I have to tell you that the one thing that my editor always told me is to be true to who I am and don't let anybody stop me from what I want in life. And that lady means a lot to me. I actually based one of my characters off of her, and I will never forget what she told me when she found me, which was, Mikhail, you have a lot of talent, but I don't know who edited this book, but baby.
Mikhail, did I really say it like that?
Yes, you did. You did. Yes, you did. That would be you. That would be you that said that. This is one of my first editors.
That's a little rough around the edge of the
couch. This is one of my first editors and mentor who actually got me from where I started, which was unedited, unformatted, and just terrible writing to a place where I could consider myself an author.
That's
and awesome. I'm eternally grateful to her.
And what's your name, ma'am?
Kim Jernigan.
Kim Jernigan, okay. I thought I heard you say Kim.
Yeah, that's Pam. That's Pam right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm eternally grateful to her.
Cookies and tea, baby. Cookies and tea.
I know, Natalie.
Oh, wow.
What was that? Some people just need to go sit in the corner and color.
You know. You already know. Y'all gonna stop using my favorite sayings.
See, he's going to make them popular for you, right? So everyone's going to start saying. And whoever said the thing.
Go on T-shirts.
There you go. See, that would work.
It really would. T-shirts,
hats, and keychains. Go color.
Go color.
Go put the card in color. I actually like the color, though. It's very,
I
very
love
calming.
The color, too.
Yeah. So, see, another twin
have
thing
it
we
as
have.
Career.
Now, would you even consider having writing be your career?
Honestly, yes. I love to write. Writing makes me happy. Writing is something that I...
It is his career. He just don't want to own it.
Oh, gosh. I mean, come on. You're a USA Today bestseller.
Yeah, but when
there,
I get NYT,
you know, that to me is like career, you know?
Yeah, I love writing. I honestly do. I think that it's something that I was born to do. And it took me a long time to see that.
Yeah.
But once you're willing to put in the work, put in the hours of time that it takes to grow, then you'll see, you know, you'll actually get a chance to reach your full destination, or actually get a chance to see your full potential seen. And
right.
Sometimes it takes someone to see the potential that you don't see in yourself.
To show you, yes.
And I have to say, Tam was one of those people that saw the potential in me when I didn't see it myself.
Nice. Well, before we run out of time, would you tell us again where my listeners can find you online?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. My website is authormikaelwilson.com. On TikTok, I'm Author Mikael Wilson. That's MikaelWilson. On Facebook, you can find me under Mikael Wilson as a digital creator. And on Instagram, Author Mikael Wilson. So all of my taglines are exactly the same.
Nice.
You can't miss me. I'm a very handsome mocha with a brown skin. You know, I'm a very handsome guy, so you can't miss me, I'm telling you. Look for the biggest, tallest, handsomest guy and you'll see me. You'll be like, oh my gosh, that has to be him. But I'm married. I'm married, so please.
Yeah, you may want to stress that part.
Yeah, I'm married to someone that she's a part of the NRA, she doesn't play. This will save my life as well. It'll save my life as well as yours. So, you know, when in doubt, you know, just
don't test her.
Be nice. Don't test her. Don't do that. Don't test her. No.
I know. I love your wife. She is something else.
Isn't that a coincidence? Because so do I.
Right? See, we really are twins. We love the same thing, you know.
Twinsies.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I know we have a few minutes left, so if there's anything else you would like to share with the listeners about yourself or your books or even your music.
Yeah, there is something I'd like to share. Thank you for allowing me to be on your wonderful show. Thank
you
for your friendship. We haven't known each other well a long time, but I have to say that I bonded with you. And the group of authors that we're a part of, I am so honored to be a part of that. And I will be forever grateful to be a part of that with them and you. And I found lifelong friends that I feel that even when this project is over, you guys will always be a part of my life.
Well, yeah.
And a big shout out to my best friend in the entire world, YD Martin, aka YD Lamar. She is by far one of the best people I've ever met. She's helped me with so many things, and if she is listening, thank you. So
that is awesome. Yeah, she is awesome too. I'm so glad I met her and you. And then there's going to be a season two, so we're going to be around.
Season two is going to be lit. Season two is going to be lit.
We're
going to be lit.
We're going to be around.
Yeah, it's going to be lit. It's going to be so lit.
So stay tuned for that, because I will give updates as we get ready for our big cover reveals and everything. So I will announce it here and probably do some more promos for it. But it's a great group of authors, and we're all people of color. And we have just bonded to make this shared world, you know, a world of our own, each of us, and become a part of, you know, like I said, it challenges, it, you know, helps us grow, and we've learned things from each other that is just, you know, amazing to have and be a part of. So I'm very happy to be a part of this group.
And the words of Star, be prepared.
That is so true. Yep, it's going to blow your mind. All I can say,
it really will.
It really is going to. The whole shared world in each book leading into the next, it's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. And I thank you for coming on and, you know, sharing your story. And I had no idea that you like just stumbled into writing, but that is so, I'm so glad you did, because I love your story. So
thank you so much.
You are most welcome.
Thanks everyone for calling in and supporting us. And I appreciate each and every one of you.
Yes. For those who called in, and I thank you for asking questions that are really good questions you guys had. I mean, seriously. So yeah, you, and Mikhail, you are welcome to come back anytime. So like when your book drops, please come back so we can talk about it, because I think
awesome.
It's going to be
awesome. I'm definitely coming
back. For everyone to
I'm definitely
to read
coming
it.
Back.
Yes. And he has actually two books in this shared world. So we'll be hearing a lot. And that's all I can say. And I will let you know in due time, like next week, we'll be able to talk more about it. So,
yes,
until then,
right.
Thank you guys for listening tonight. Again, you are listening to the Mahogany Says Show, and we have been talking with USA Today bestselling author Mikhail Bolton. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. So I will be around next week. And until then, I wish you blessings, peace, and love.
You have been listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silvering, on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilvering.net. Thank you and good night.